Previously on DDFP.
As I've always said, I believe in Jameis Winston more than I do Mariota. Maybe I'll be proven wrong.
Jameis is first pass, intercepted, sensible to the house.
My team, Manchester United, playing this weekend against Liverpool.
Can
United.
Someone shut his mic up?
I'm going to take the Seahawks.
He will hand it off to Lance, who's hit in the backfield and pushed back. Stops short. St. Louis wins.
August was a lie, and you two may as well hold hands.
What do you want from us?
Pretend like I'm not even here if you have a question.
We do that all the time, Dave. When we see you in the calf, when we see you in the green room, we just pretend you're not even there.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal, Dave the Dummy Damashek. Welcome to the DDFP, available on iTunes, Stitcher, NFL.com/podcasts, all the rest. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Hope you enjoyed week one. You know, it seems like in that little previously on DDFP, they failed to acknowledge all of my many good deeds. You know, I did go 12-4 with my predictions in week one. Apparently, though, those were forgotten because I picked the Seahawks to win in St. Louis. Anywho, good show, nay, great show coming up for you in a little bit. Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew are going to be joining us to kibitz about week one and a bunch of other stuff here. Also, the season six debut of the Sheck Report. 6 years now, Handsome Hank. Oh, let me say hello to him. He's feeling quite rosy today. All the way from London, England, he was thrilled to watch his Miami Dolphins survive against a game DC club. He's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Sorry. I'm a little flustered from the attack that I saw.
I don't know what was that about?
I don't know what happened there.
Right.
No respect whatsoever. But nonetheless, your team survived, like I say.
Yep.
Our pal here, DDFP All-Star Jarvis Landry, took it to the house when the team needed it most. Just what the doctor ordered. That's not a bad win. Don't feel bad. Winning a game in pro football counts. That's all that matters.
When we get to January and the Dolphins are playing on divisional playoff weekend, no one's going to be thinking back to, remember that close game in week one. It's just going to be, it was a victory. They all count.
Yes. So let's jump into it now with, like I say, you can be listening to the show using any of the avenues I just explained to you. Also, we're available on YouTube. And to prove that, we now have YouTube comments coming our way.
Mm-hmm.
Black Tie Behind the Glass, why don't you share some of those comments with us? Kirby Master 14 drops a line. More mustard talk.
We can do that.
I love talking. You know, well, of course, I have my doctorate from the National Mustard Institute based in Wisconsin. I do have a PhD in mustard. I'm happy to talk about that. I'm happy to talk about condiments ad nauseum also. Now that we're in September, you can see off in the distance. You can see the Shecky Awards now glistening off in the distance there. Fruit of the year coming up. That's really heating up. I had some delicious pineapple last night. I also have had some great watermelon lately.
Watermelon's been good. The white peaches this year have been sensational.
Marvelous. Red grapes. It's heating up at just the right time. Next comment comes from Moe Joe?
I think Mojo.
Mojo. I got you.
Four.
Did I? Yes. I cut off Black Tie? How did that happen?
Yeah, you did.
No, that's all right, Black Tie.
Continuing on. Now, let's talk about the 49ers on Monday. No. What did I do, Black Tie? I don't know what happened there.
You caught me up on the last show, so I had to get you back on the start of this show. All your wrong predictions.
Well, listen, I couldn't hear you. If you don't fix the ear, you're the producer of the show.
I had a great question for Nate and Willie on last show, and you just cut me off.
Name dropper. All right, can we move on to the next
one?
Sorry
comment.
About that, Black Tie. Listen, you're the producer. If my earpiece doesn't work, whose shoulders does that fall on? Jesse asks, he doesn't care about sports. He just mentions he listens to hear movie talk and candy ranking. And Black Tie doesn't see any movies.
Yeah, no, you guys know me. I don't need any 80s movies from the 80s. But we do have
I want to talk about, speaking of movies, though, thing, I know Handsome Hank, I'm not going to indulge it right now because Handsome has shared his opinions already on this, as have I. But Matt Damon has put our conversation from this summer back in the news. Damon, a.k.a. Jason Bourne, claims he could beat Batman in a fight. Jason Bourne could beat Batman in a fight, not Damon v. Affleck, you understand. We hashed through this summer and divined that Jason Bourne would, in fact, win that fight. All human beings, all movie human beings, not super-powered ones, not Superman, But the rest, I will ask Ike and MJD that in a little bit there. So candy rankings, though.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't do 80s movies. So I myself and Emma, who's a segment producer on the show, we put up
the MVP.
MVP, we call
MVP, there she is. So we put up our candy rankings, top three. You guys decide what's best.
All right, lay them on us.
Yeah, there you go. So Emma has Swedish Fish, Gummy Bears, and Sour Patch Kids.
Swedish Fish.
Swedish. Yeah, that's what
they're very good. I like Swedish Fish quite a bit. You know what's interesting with Swedish Fish? A lot of people are purists and only like the red ones. They don't acknowledge the rainbow available right to them. How say you on that issue?
Swedish Fish are interesting, and Swedish Fish are new to me since I moved to the U.S. I would say they wouldn't make my top 100 candies.
No, really? That's a little harsh. They're delicious.
Fish things. Gummy bears are better than Swedish Fish. Like I think what would be interesting, not just the best candies, but the best animal candy shapes to eat. I think bears probably are right up there.
Well, you can get gummy gators when you're in New Orleans.
You can get the snakes, you know, the gummy snakes.
Yeah, those are.
If you guys cared, I had Maltesers as my number one. The British.
Well, you're going the right direction. No American candy would make a top 50 candies.
To me, Jolly Ranchers are. I'm a big fan of those. Mm-hmm. I like all dark chocolate. I don't go milk chocolate at all. I like now that we've reached a place in society where they tell you the percentage of cacao. I don't even know what it means.
Cacao.
But damn it, shit. Jacks up the cacao as high as it goes. You can't buy it. Some stores don't even sell.
There's something like you and dark chocolate. It's the mystery.
Yeah,
you know, it's part of your mysterious character.
I'm a dark chocolate purist, and as I've said before, I'll say it again now. Whoever came up with it in the last decade, I don't know how mankind made it so far, but I'm glad that we live in a time that saw sea salt added into the dark chocolate. I hail you, good sir.
It feels like it was done as a joke originally. Like I just put some salt in Dave's candy.
Yeah,
and then of course. Dave likes it.
Yeah, you don't see me laughing now.
Right.
No, I'm deadly serious about how much I love it. Speaking of which, let's get to more very important stuff. Like I say, the Niners topped the Vikings, as Damashek told you they would. I also told you that the Atlanta Falcons were going to beat the Eagles, and so they did. So let's dig into it here. Monday night's games, of course, rounding out our week one there. Handsome, I guess let's start in Atlanta. What was your takeaway there? Chip Kelly's team seemed to get off to a little bit of a slow start.
Yeah, they got off to a slow start, and I think what you'll see from... They then finished very fast. Everything they did was very fast, and it was a slow start on the scoreboard, but a very fast start in every other way. They were, you know, they were at the line of scrimmage every, like, 12 seconds. They were snapping the ball. And the Falcons' defense at the end, and the reason that the Eagles were nearly able to come back, the Falcons' defense was kind of lying down on the field, almost sleeping through exhaustion by the end of the game. And that's going to be an issue. If I was an NFC East team, I'd be doing everything to get my players conditioned to play against this team.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it last week and said, I feel like the Eagles kind of need to get off on a good start because year three for Chip Kelly, there are all sorts of questions. And as much as the outside comments can bleed into a locker room, I wonder if that locker room could be lost by Chip Kelly if things, don't get out of the gate. But I think they ultimately should feel pretty good about things. Do you think, though, I thought it was an interesting moment of strategy that Chip Kelly decided to kick the 40 or attempt the 44-yard field goal rather than go for it in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it felt like the Falcons' defense was really flagging at that point. I think you'd have gone for it and he'd probably have got it, but I understand why.
I didn't get that because it seems to me that with the time left, when you kick it there, you're going to give it back and you'll only be up by less than a field goal, so that the Falcons, the way they could move the ball. Yeah. I do think that Eagles' defense overall is going to be pretty good.
Yeah. I think we said that, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, where was that? Where was that in the previously? I told you that the Eagles' defense was going to be good. Mm-hmm. But I think both teams look good. The Falcons, I think, are going to win that division. I'm on record with that.
I am too, I believe, Dave. Did we see that from Black Tie? No.
No, indeed. And I hesitate to bring this up right now because it was such an eyesore. I mean, I stick my neck out years ago. I decided to take all the ills in uniforms, not just in pro football, but for all the sports.
Yep.
I did that for you. I did that for all the commissioners. I did that for the eyeballs of all the fans in the world. And the San Francisco 49ers go out there to start the season and rub Damashek's face in it, nay, the world's face in it. The Niners and the Vikings, they do get a victory. I suppose as somebody who hails from the banks of the Three Rivers in western Pennsylvania, I'm happy for Jim Tomsula. I know you are too. Everybody talking about what a nice guy he is, and that's something you knew years ago.
I did, yes. Yeah, well, he and I started, I'm not a coach, but we started our careers together with the London Monarchs back in 1997, I think it was.
So good for him. Good for the Niners, who a lot of people did not sing very many positive songs about throughout the offseason. I was pleased for them, legitimately. And Carlos Hyde, we talked about that he was going to have a big year this year.
Yep.
He got out of the game.
He really did.
Great.
And he looked like Frank Gore running. I mean, they actually facially look a little similar, and he came out running like that Frank Gore kind of direct style. But the other thing, the whole offseason, the narrative around the 49ers was that they lost so many pieces, and the assumption was always going to be that they weren't going to be able to replace them with any good players. It was, that they had these stars and they were going to be replaced by duds. And the truth was that, we saw yesterday that, a bunch of the players that came in to replace the likes of Patrick Willis, etc., they're not going to be Patrick Willis, but they're not bad players.
The thing you see as we look at some of the highlights for Monday night is Carlos Hyde runs hard all the time.
Yep.
Whereas Le'Veon Bell is that guy who can go from 0 to 50 in the blink of an eye. He seeks where he wants, and then he explodes. It seems like Carlos Hyde is one of those guys, sort of like Mark Ingram, who just the second they get the ball, they're at 100 miles an hour, and he is he's a load. So I think they have some pieces there, and Kaepernick looked pretty good to me as well there.
It's because he looked to Trent Dilfer. Trent Dilfer and Chris Berman did their annual Monday Night Football announcing, and it was almost unbearable. But Trent Dilfer was singing the praises of Colin Kaepernick the whole way through, including a pass that must have missed an intended receiver by 4 or 5 yards. And Trent Dilfer said, "This is a good incompletion. Here's why."
I caught that.
His explanation for it essentially explained to me why Trent Dilfer's NFL career was exactly what it turned into, which was an abject.
It wasn't
failure.
A dime. It was more like
a
penny.
It was not one of Dilfer's dimes.
I will, and you saw the uniforms. I hope that wasn't, I didn't just assault your eyeballs by bringing that up, with you unawares. But really, what happened with those uniforms? Black on black, and then that gold hat, it was like the team in black just showed up and like, oh my God, the equipment manager forgot to pack the helmets. Hey, local football collective, can we bum your gold hats for just this game? It looked ridiculous.
Another idea I've seen thrown out there is that they were actually wearing the uniforms that the quarterback wears in practice that means you can't hit him. And maybe they thought they would put off the Vikings by all wearing that, and then the Vikings wouldn't make any tackles, which actually kind of is what happened. So, psychology.
Hey, speaking of psychology, that was really, or maybe it's sociology, I don't know which. But when all the football world, when all the predictors, prognosticators, fans, and everybody else just jumps in on a team that has achieved nothing in recent vintage, jumps on, this team's definitely going to be good, as everybody did with the Minnesota Vikings, it raises a red flag for me. And that's why I ultimately, at the 11th hour, took the Vikings out of my playoff picture and replaced them with the Cowboys. I feel good about that now. Again, it's not based on any football rationale. It's just everybody jumped on this Vikings team. And listen, they're only, it's only one game, so there's plenty of time left. But it was, everybody gets very excited about a conversation and the momentum builds from there. But Peterson, it was sort of, Teddy Bridgewater was good in his rookie season. Zimmer's a good defensive coach. Now they get Peterson. How can they miss?
North Turner's there, exactly. I felt the same way about the Harry Potter books. Once there was conversation about it, I was like, I want nothing to do with these things, and I've luckily stayed away from it ever since. I think the big question that for a Vikings fan, they'll be wringing their hands a little bit about, what Adrian Peterson, all we were told all offseason is, well, he's going to come back, he's going to be fresh, he's going to have a chip on his shoulder, a point to prove, and they didn't even give him the ball. I'm not sure what the game plan was there.
It was weird because now it does inject some controversy in the locker room now, and that's going to be the conversation for the week now leading up to week two. Is Peterson going to get the ball? Mm-hmm. Hey, Adrian, are you upset about your lack of touches? And all that's going to have to fill the conversation until the next game kicks off. It is what we call the pool boy syndrome. Right. Yeah, there's a guy who I went to college with. He's in my fantasy league, and one of my fantasy leagues. And he had a bad habit of, he would meet a girl and he would immediately be wildly head over heels in love. And so we started to call him the pool boy because he didn't even check if there was water in the pool. He always just dove right in. And maybe football fans did that with the Vikings.
Right.
Time will tell there. One other thing from the late Monday night game was this little card that that they showed of Jim Tomsula's previous jobs. I was fascinated. The London Monarchs, I don't think, is listed on that.
Well, some of the jobs that are listed when we see this are some pretty awkward ones that happened before he started working for the Monarchs. But you can, if you're listening, we can read them out. If you're watching, you can read for yourself.
They go, you know what? You have a more appealing voice. Why don't you read them?
It's your show.
I know, but that's, you remember, when you first came onto the show, it was to read football players' tweets, and it sounds nice.
This is where Dave actually reveals that he can't read. Medical equipment sales rep, newspaper delivery man, night janitor, firewood cutter, cleaned floors at a department store, food sales rep, doormat salesman. Doormat salesman, that sounds like a made-up one.
Doormat salesman.
Doesn't sound like a job that anyone
also
actually
firewood
does.
Cutter. Is it the 19th
cutter,
century?
Right. Firewood cutter, I kind of get it. Like, someone has to chop those things down. But no one goes door to door selling doormats. That just doesn't sound like an actual job. Like, why would you do that? You're there, you knock on the door. Well, what do you want? Oh, I see, you've already got one, don't worry.
The one that jumped out at me is night janitor, and that sounds like about as bad a job as you could have. But then I thought about it. If there is any job that I would rather have to do at night than during the day, I think I'd rather have to fix toilets and clean up toilets and stuff like that in the nighttime because no one else is there.
Right.
Like, hey, we got a fresh clog for you. It's high noon. It's like, oh, I was just about to eat lunch.
Right.
That spoils my appetite. At least no one else is there. You
and
know?
Then 20 minutes later, you know that thing you fixed? It happened again.
It's a mess. Got to get back in there. Handsome Hank, you've described. I don't know that any of those. I mean, listen, the quantity is significant for Tomsula. The quality, though, for you, you had the worst job I've ever heard of.
I have a bad one. And luckily, Black Tie has some pictures. So if you're watching, you're about to see these. I had a job castrating calves for about...
Calves, calves, baby cows, in
baby cows. Let's
I want the Americans out there
baby,
to understand
baby
what
cows,
you're saying.
Calves. I had to castrate calves for about 3 or 4 months, which involved essentially grabbing a newborn cow while its mother looked on upset with you and tried to attack you. I think I don't have to describe exactly what happens after that.
No, I think, I think you said that when you said castrate calves. That's a horrid gig,
it
and I don't really have
job.
Anything to compare it to.
It was
to.
A bad job. Yeah. What was your, I mean, you must have something bad.
Though. Mine was just so snoozy.
Right.
First I made pizza pies.
It's not a bad thing.
No, it was quite good, you know? The Domino's pizza with the, make it in 30 minutes or less. That was in that era, too. So I knew how to make it. I could have a pie in the oven with everything on it. I'm not talking just a plain old cheese pie. I mean all the fixings. I could have it from the moment I hung the phone up taking the order. I could have it in the oven in less than 60 seconds.
It's incredible. It really is truly a testament to your skills.
Then I toiled in Chicago for many moons doing this, that. Oh, I shucked oysters for a while.
Okay, it's a lot of food involved in your bad jobs.
That's right. Food, eating food is one of my passions.
Yeah.
Black Tie, what's your worst job?
Not the job you've done worst. You know what the answer to that is.
No.
Oh, it's the same answer.
I actually was once a rugby salesman, like clothing salesman, like for jerseys and stuff. So I would call up people and be like, hey, do you want to buy stuff for your rugby team in America, here in the States? So a lot of people don't play rugby, but...
Yeah, well, that must have been like 3 calls.
It really
like,
was.
I'm done for the day, and then
I worked
the next
like
day,
one
they'd
week.
Be like, that guy's back on the
floor. It was that and like Ultimate Frisbee team. So I would call them up like, hey, do you want to buy some uniforms and jerseys for your team?
Well, handsome is exactly right. How many people out there, how many organized rugby and Ultimate Frisbee teams fill the U.S.?
Can't knock the hustle. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what any of that means. But. All right, listen. As I say, the Monday update this year, by the way, we are going to be doing the Sheck Report most of the time, and I think going forward it will consistently be on Monday night. Now, that's a big change for us, and we're very pleased about that because we will now be delivering it a day earlier than you're used to here in year six. That's thanks to our pal Keith Black behind the glass, not to be confused with Black Tie. I'm going to have to figure out a new name for Keith Black.
Keith Tie. That doesn't work.
Underwhelming. But yes, so Monday night, if I were to add something to it, it would be those 49ers uniforms. They were an atrocity. But in the meantime, here we go, everybody. Let's take a look at the season six, season debut of the Sheck Report.
The Sheck Report, with Dave Damashek reporting.
Damashek here, and so is football. Thank goodness. Just remember, players and coaches and uniform designers, don't get angry at me if I call your name. Ultimately, I didn't do this to you. You did this to you. Let it begin! At number three, let's just get right to it. The Cleveland Browns' new costumes. People keep asking me why the jerseys say Cleveland and the pants say Browns. It took me a few weeks to figure it out, but I think I have it. It's because they're the Cleveland Browns. I don't know. That's all I could come up with. But hey, good for them. They've decided to get remedial. Start on the ground floor and all that. Ball. Field. Now all they need is one of these. Well, no. Try another. Well, that's a little closer, but hey, you'll figure it out one of these days, Cleveland. We're all rooting for you. At number two, $4 billion worth of ridiculousness in the Jarrodome. And I'm not even talking about Eli's inability to understand how clocks work. No, I'm more interested in Eli's audibles. What Peyton does for a certain Italian style of poultry prep, Eli does for Mexican food.
Oh, 59, taco.
We also discovered a possible explanation as to why Darren McFadden struggles to stay healthy. It's also a good lesson for you kids out there. You need proper footwear to succeed in pro football. And Dez Bryant, before breaking a bone in his foot and before breaking the bleep button.
That's the f- I'm talking about. Hey,
before that, he got dehydrated. The now deputized Shane Field reporter easily recalled one, figured out why. Jason Garrett is a sports drink hoarder. You gotta share, coach. And that brings me to number one in this week's brown paper bag of shame, which, to be fair, really should go to the Steeler secondary, but I can't very well give something tangible like the brown paper bag of shame to something that doesn't exist. So instead, it goes to the Seattle Seahawks for running the ball on fourth and one in overtime. Who does something like that? Everyone knows you throw there, maybe an in route. Tisk, tisk. Here, you wear this, Seahawks. It's the brown paper bag of shame. Till next week. Try not to embarrass yourselves. See that left arm? Throw better than James. All right, of course, that was a little truncated. The full version available at NFL.com, on YouTube, NFL Now, so on and so forth. Track it down, share it with your friends. Handsome, your thoughts. Sheck Report, week one. Anything, if there were the Handsome Report that I missed out on there?
Oh, I don't know that you missed. I mean, I just think my reaction is, what a great job you've done again. What are we, you said 6 years into the Sheck Report?
6 years, yes.
Terrific.
Yeah.
You don't look a day older than when you first did it.
Thank you.
How do you not bring up Jameis's first throw being a pick six?
I don't know, Black Tie. Why don't you take it over? Do the Black Tie Report
black
and see who
report.
Watches that.
The Blacklist.
Hey, make sure you do watch. Programming note, we had a great time, and Ike Taylor and MJD are on their way in momentarily. But we started off something last Sunday, and we're going to continue doing it every Sunday now. From 10 a.m. all the way through the late afternoon games, we are gathering and watching the games and yapping about it. And it's positively, if you've listened to Ike and MJD here on the DDFP, you know how delightful they are. It's a great time. It's Mark Iztook. It's Elliot Harrison, Colleen Wolf. Bunch of people passing through, a bunch of guys who played ball and guys who didn't, hopefully Handsome Hank, the around the NFL boys passing through as well. It was a great time on Sunday, and it shall be all throughout the season. We're keeping our eye on all the games, giving you all the highlights, all that stuff. It was, like I say, it was splendid stuff.
Good. No, I loved it. I very much enjoyed watching it.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Do you mind now? I know I'm not kicking you out. You're welcome to stay. But if you want to go.
What's that? Oh, MJD's down here. He wants to. So I'm going to give him a hand up. He's under the desk.
All right, then. So I didn't realize he was back
there. Yeah, he needs some help getting up on the chair. It's very high.
He's so talkative.
It's very high.
Yeah. I guess you really, in your ongoing, I don't know what prompted it. MJD likes to go after Handsome Hank because he shouldn't be allowed to talk about our game of football because he's English, which seems unfair. And then on the other hand, Handsome goes back at MJD for his height issues.
Well, I feel bad for him. He's just a little guy that needs some help.
I mean, a couple of years ago, you know, he was, you know, on top of the mountain. Now he's in here with us.
Right.
Sorry, MJD. Speaking of which, let's get MJD a chair, a high chair, I guess, and get Ike Taylor in here. And Handsome, we'll bid you good day. When we rejoin, we'll have our two pals in here.
Dave, Dave.
All right, see, like magic. Out goes the Englishman. In come two more of my favorite fellows around here at NFL Media. Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones, Drew. What's the poop, fellas? How are we?
What's the poop, Shaq?
Well, we've got week one in the books now. We have 16 more to go in the regular season, then the playoffs. Let's get into it all, shall we, fellas? And by the way, let me ask you, did you have fun on Sunday doing the show, the game day blitz?
I loved it. I think we need healthier food, though.
That was live. I think after that pizza, we caught the itis a little bit.
Or Bucky caught
the itis. Yeah, everything kind of like slow.
Yeah, Bucky, yes. There's a little bit of there's a scandal afoot here because here's the thing. Last Sunday, doing game day blitz, Bucky Brooks was out on the couch with us. Now, MJD, Ike, and me were out there for 7.5 hours. We didn't bellyache because we were watching football. It was a good time. Bucky Brooks got out there maybe 45 minutes in. What happened, Ike? Do an impression. Here's the issue, though. He denies that he fell asleep. He denies it. We're going to have to check the tape. Black Tie, make sure you track down that. Meantime, Black Tie gave us his candy rankings list either. Real quick, Ike, what's the best candy?
The best candy? Damn, we eat candy. So I don't know.
A lot of fun. You don't eat candy.
How fun is that?
As you saw my rankings, I don't do candy per se. It's more chocolate, right?
So not chocolate.
That's what candy is. I don't know what you think. You're fancy because it's chocolate?
Jolly Ranchers by
far. Two kind of chocolate?
Jolly Ranchers, MJD, gets the correct answer. MJD, clearly you know what you're talking about. What candy fruit flavor most closely approximates the real fruit it is meant to represent? Ike Taylor.
No, I got a question. Can I drink some coffee on your show?
No. Shame the devil if you hydrate yourself.
Did you say I had to raise my hand?
I don't want you to whine. I don't want you to be like Des Bryant getting all dehydrated on Sunday night. Watermelon tastes the most like actual watermelon. Which one is the worst? Which one doesn't taste like the fruit?
Orange.
What about the green apple?
Orange doesn't taste like oranges.
Orange candy doesn't taste like an orange piece of fruit?
Not really.
At all.
It's like a tangy kind of taste.
No, the correct answer is grape. Grape candies don't taste anything like grapes.
No, they don't. They don't. But orange is the same way. See, we tend to do grape is called purple.
Yeah.
Or blue.
We don't say great. We say purple.
Yeah, you say purple. Give me the purple one.
I find it fascinating, too. Have you ever noticed that there are a lot of red fruits in the world? And so they decided somewhere way long ago before any of us were on the planet Earth, somebody decided, hey, sorry, raspberry, you got to bite the bullet. We got too many reds. You have to be blue raspberry. All candy, when it's raspberry, is blue. But raspberries are not blue.
You know what? To me, and Ike, you tell me if you're wrong, because when I used to drink the Kool-Aid, you know, it wasn't like, oh, let's get the cherry, the strawberry. Like, let me get the red one.
Yeah.
And it kind of puts them all in the one together.
I know so what you mean, right. But I don't like the raspberry Kool-Aid. All right, let's talk about football. Hey, for the first time in a dozen, 15, maybe 20 years, last weekend was the first weekend that you guys were free and clear of putting on the pads. How did it make you feel, MJD? Was it sad?
No, I was ecstatic. I didn't have to go through a grueling summer, a grueling training camp. Then I can just sit and watch football and talk football and not have to worry about someone yelling at me for doing something wrong, taking the wrong step. I was happy.
Ike Taylor, if you're done drinking coffee, you can answer the question as well.
That's how I felt. I felt just like that. Now, don't get it twisted. I still work out. I still like get my workout in, but at the same time, man, like MJD said, man, I had no training camp to go to. Nobody saying, Ike, just yelling at me. I'm on the couch with y'all, man. We're watching football.
But not even, I get the training camp thing. Believe me, that would I would hate that too. But not even on game day, you didn't feel like, man, I'd like to be out there.
I promise you. I felt like I left everything out there. So when I made that decision, it was cool. Plus, I'm with MJD, and him and I just like, we bonded. Mm-hmm.
That's true. That. I was talking to MJD about that earlier today. Yeah. Who knew? Nobody you guys knew. A month ago didn't even know each other. All you knew was button heads on the gridiron. Yep. Now you two, dear, dear friends.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
What a month can do for you.
Yes. It's wonderful. 4 months. It's really wonderful. It's really wonderful. All right, let's talk about week one here. And now we'll go the other way. Rivalries. And I don't mean just the Chiefs and Texans. I predicted the Chiefs will go to the Super Bowl this year. And I look pretty good a week in on that pick. We'll see on Thursday night how they do against Peyton and company. But Ike, we were talking about this. Do you feel like Justin Houston? Because J.J. Watt a year ago, people were singing songs about him, not just defensive player of the year. He's the MVP. He didn't even win the sack total. Justin Houston did. Do you feel Justin Houston, as a competitor, is thinking to himself, I'm going to show J.J. Watt, I'm going to show the world who the best pass rusher
is. Y'all sleeping on me. That's how he feel. I mean, from position to position, you're always competitive. You know what always. I'm saying? So I always want to see who's the number one corner, because I want to try to be the number one corner too. So between Houston, like, man, y'all giving J.J. Watt all these praise, but have y'all checked my stats lately? And Houston himself, like, they talk about J.J. Watt being a specimen. Houston himself is a grown man.
He's a destroyer out
He's
there.
He's a grown man. So he felt like every time I'm going to go against, or every opportunity I have to go against a guy like J.J. Watt, I'm going to show out.
MJD, you have anything like that?
Oh, definitely. When we were running, when I was like in my groove, it was myself, Arian Foster, and Chris Johnson all in the AFC South. Hmm. And it was like, okay, I'm playing against the Titans defense, but I have to outshine Chris Johnson. Or I'm playing against the Houston Texans, but I have to outshine Arian. And to be honest with you, it was like, who was going to get first team all AFC South? Because we had three Pro Bowlers right there. I mean, in the AFC, we were the three cream of the crop, and we were all in the same division. So we went, I want to say 1 year, we went 1, 2, 3 in the Pro Bowl.
It's crazy. It's three of y'all, three different styles of running. Mm-hmm. You got the bruiser, you got somebody who's smooth, Arian Foster, you got somebody who's just all speed, and CJ. All three of them guys in the AFC South, that had to be competitive.
Oh, man.
Had to
be. Arian Foster, by the way, too, you know the Jenga theory. It's not that players are going to get hurt, but if you lose the wrong piece, the whole thing like Jenga implodes. To me, Arian Foster is key to the Texans. They didn't look too good on Sunday.
Right.
But one, he's on his way back sooner rather than later. And two, Ryan Mallett, Ike Taylor, what do you think about the Texans going forward?
We've been talking about Ryan Mallett. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. just give the dude a chance. Like, we know what these second tier, maybe third tier quarterbacks bring to the table. They're good for 1 through 4 games, if that. If not, they would have been the starter for their whole career. So with these young guys, man, at least let me see. Let me give a guy a full 16. Let me give him an opportunity to see what he can do with my team.
Well, I think more than anything, when you look at Ryan Mallett, he came in last year, he beat the Cleveland Browns, he gets hurt, right? You go in this training
camp. People forget that.
Right, in this training camp, all this stuff, he oversleeps, all this nonsense. He comes out in, the second half, third quarter, throws 2 touchdowns, brings you back in the game. And now we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. I mean, this kid can play. You just got to give him a chance. And different people take coaching differently. Like, you can yell at some guys and they can bounce back from it. Other guys, you yell at them, they cave in. You know, they're quarterbacks.
That's what I say that all the time. A coach, you know, I went to Indiana University, so I liked Bob Knight.
Right.
But I could never play for Bob Knight. You know me well enough to know that if you yelled at me, I would just start to cry. That wouldn't work for me. You have to bump Damashek up. You have to boost his ego for me to be effective. And, Ryan Mallett, so what? So he took a nap after he lost the gig. Some guys are just, I lost the starting job. I think we all did that.
Like, I've been late to a couple of meetings. You know what I'm saying? Not on purpose, but on accident. But it just so happened he was late at the time they named him the second string starter. So now it looks kind of awkward. You know
it would look worse if they named him the starter, but he lost the gig. So, all right, I'm going to take a nap now.
Well, I think the best thing is that he was third string, and then Savage gets hurt in the final preseason game, right? So now he gets bumped up to second string, and now Hoyer looks like trash. Mm-hmm. Now, you know.
Who was hardest to tackle? Arian Foster, Chris Johnson, MJD, Ike Taylor.
I already gave the MJD story.
Yes,
like,
you did.
Yeah, I hit MJD at a good time. Like, as soon as he turned around and tried to catch the ball, I smacked him, and that smack wasn't a smack. That smack was a snow flurry. You know what I'm saying? So when I hit him, and I just slightly rolled off MJD, and in my mind, it was saying, hell. But my body was like, something is wrong with you trying to hit this guy.
Who was the hardest hitting cornerback, MJD?
Corner? Yeah, I mean, Ike's the only one that really hit me up high, to be honest with you. A lot of those guys would go low. Now, the one guy that pissed me off more than anybody was Courtland Finnegan. I did not like him a lot.
That's the true, everybody feels that way about that guy, right?
He just does extra stuff. Like, it wasn't even, I would be like coming down and he'd come diving and lay. Like, see, I respect Ike because you're going to hit me up high. Like, I'd have my back turn and Fred Smoot cut me. I had my back turn, D'Angelo Hall cut me. I'm like, listen, I'm not even looking at you. Just come hit me up top. Don't try to end my career.
Now that we're talking about it, that was stupid of me trying to hit this guy high. But at the same time,
it's almost impossible too to hit him high.
Peer pressure is a mother. Like when I'm on the field, peer pressure is at its all-time high. I'm gonna do whatever you ask me to do.
Yeah, I mean, legitimately though, it must be hard to get low enough to really hit.
I can cut him, but I want to see what he was at up top, and I saw where he was at. He was at his brute status.
Test my off-season workouts. That's all I ask.
You think Damashek could take you down?
Now, ooh, yeah, most likely.
Sheck is shecking.
Right, I'm not. Now. I'm not.
Sheck is shecking.
No, I'm a skill position guy. I'm not somebody to get in there and be hitting other guys. You know.
Now and then, you might have to though, Sheck.
That's why you play.
You
gotta
take one for the team.
That's why you play offense.
I'll do like Joe Flacco did, trying to pretend tackle Aqib Talib on Sunday. Like, I'm gonna be in the ballpark, but I'm not actually.
Might as well play kicker if you're going
to Tony Romo.
There's a guy wears number 21 or wore number 21. He's in the Hall of Fame now. He played cornerback. He didn't like hitting anybody.
Not at all.
Yes.
Well, he's definitely in the Hall of Fame.
Let's talk about the Seahawks and Rams next here. Pretty compelling stuff. I felt like the Rams. You know, I don't think anybody thinks the Rams are going to win the division, but if they have any chance of doing it, they had to beat Seattle in St. Louis. Ike and I agree on a lot, but I don't see the Rams winning the division.
Why?
Yeah, well, I don't buy, first of all, Jeff Fisher. He goes 8-8 almost every year.
No. Take Jeff Fisher out. Why?
Well, he's the coach. What do you mean, take him out?
But he doesn't play the game.
Foles is fine. I don't think Nick Foles is like a top 10 QB.
Trey Mason out and Ty Gurley is out. Did you see what they did?
I did see what they did.
They and still put up points.
But
defense was superstar.
That's the defense. The defense is awesome.
Yeah. So the defense always been stout. What we said a couple of months ago, Nick Foles can stay healthy, he has the weapons around him to be very productive if he can stay healthy.
What I did tell you was that Tavon Austin was going to break out this year, and he had a good week one. In fact, it was gangbusters, wasn't it?
I think they moved him around finally. They're doing things that suits him. You know, he's not a down deep kind of guy. He's short routes, get the ball to him quick, throw screens, put him at running back, hand the ball off to him, do different things like that. And like we said, Trey Mason's out. You get Gurley back?
I know it. That's what's going to be scary. Meantime, do you think Seattle, Marshawn Lynch had a pretty good day, but he wasn't dominant as he sometimes is. Is that more attributable to a weakened Seahawks O-line or the dominance of the Rams defensive front?
I think it was both. It had to do with both. I mean, their O-line isn't that good. Then you're going against a front seven. The Rams, I mean, is one of the best in the league.
The best, Ike?
One of the best in the league.
Well, who's the best, if not them? Maybe the
front
Chiefs.
Front seven?
Nobody ever talks about the Chiefs.
The Chiefs, and we're gonna see the Vikings.
Oh, like, and what about Vikings. Also in another Denver. One, the Bills? That's the one I told everybody. I said, maybe they make the playoffs, the Broncos, but it will not be on 18's arm. Oh, no. It'll be on that defense. And you saw it on Sunday. They got after Flacco with the game on the line, them driving. When they unleash Shane Ray, Von Miller and the Marcus Ware, what are you possibly going to do? If the Broncos get a lead on you and they're in the fourth quarter, they're going to unleash the hounds.
Well, I think when you're in that two-minute situation, that's the worst. That's what the Ravens were in. I mean, Joe Flacco's trying to sit back there. Guys are grabbing at him. He's getting pulled. And then you got Von Miller coming off one side. Then you got DeMarcus Ware up the middle. Then Shane Ray. And then Talib. He won me my fantasy league. My game this
but week. But you know what? I was right about that. I said people laughed, but I said this, and they're not going to be a lot of points scored just because you expect Peyton to put a lot
you
up there. There were no defensive touchdowns. There were no offensive touchdowns the whole game. There were two pick sixes, and those are the only touchdowns in the game. Next up, Sunday Night Football, Giants and Cowboys. It was crazy stuff there. Have you ever seen? Well, not ever seen. Actually, Ike, You're a Steeler guy, and people charge Tomlin with that. For all of his greatness in over, what is it now, 8 years, nine years? Nine. This is his ninth year, right? He's done a lot of good things, but game management, two-minute offense and all that, managing the clock, he's not great at that. But it seems like that's an epidemic with head coaches and QBs around the NFL. What gives here?
If you're going to say a weakness of Coach T, you would say that. You know,
it really is true for just about every team, almost.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the communication part. I don't know if it's the, okay, what personnel should we bring in? I don't know if the guy upstairs on the sideline can actually see the personnel. Really, it has a lot to do with the other team's personnel. So the other team's personnel going to dictate what I'm running on offense or defense. So when they can't communicate fast enough and the clock is running, especially on a no-huddle or a two-minute situation, it's tough.
Yeah, but those guys, you know what they don't, what it does undermine, you do get the sense, if you listen to football guys, when you hear the coaches and QBs after the game, they love to get up at the podium and say, you're fans, you don't understand, you think you understand, but you don't understand. But there's a lot of panic out there. Eli Manning has two Super Bowls against the Patriots, no less. That was straight up panic, right? They're not aware at all. How could you? By the way, they turn the mic off in your helmet once the ball is snapped, right?
No. It's like with like 20, 15 seconds left or something.
Yeah, 15 seconds left on the clock.
Because if I were the coach, throw it, kneel down. Nobody, do you think Coughlin? Do you think anybody said to Eli, under no circumstances should you throw that ball unless a guy's wide open there?
Did you see what Rashad Jennings said?
No, I didn't see it.
He said they told him not to score.
They told him not to score.
Really?
On first and second down. They told him don't score. He said he wanted to so bad, but he wanted to take one for the team, and he had to be a team guy.
Don't score. That would have made it a double digit. I mean, it would have made it a two-score game.
But they was looking at the clock, so they figured, man, at least – run the ball, let the clock run a little bit. Run the ball on second down, let the clock run a little bit. But little did they know, Tony Romo is the comeback kid since 2006.
You know what's interesting, though?
I said that the other night, too.
Him and I was out. We went out to eat. And I just said, man, they sleeping on Romo, man.
I must have been busy.
He is the comeback kid in his fourth quarter. And the dude just put it on the headline, like, 2006, Tony Romo, fourth quarter, has been leading the NFL in the comebacks, which he was doing since you said he was busy.
I'm guessing I was. Maybe my cell phone died. I don't know. Maybe you tried to call and my cell phone died. I don't know. All right. Maybe you guys get sushi? What'd you do? See a movie?
No, win the ball and watch the game at Boars.
I like doing that. It's kind of cool.
Come here. We're gonna go to dinner tonight.
I can't do things if I don't know that they're happening.
I'm just letting you know tonight. Invite. No.
Black tie right and now. I have plans. Black tie and her.
No, we don't.
Black tie and I. Are,
black tie.
Black tie and I are gonna go out and play miniature golf and have a milkshake.
Black tie
just
said no,
knows?
You don't.
Snitching.
At an all-time high.
I didn't know about that with Rashard Jennings. Maybe that was informed, though, by Tom Coughlin having watched the Steelers and Colts play in the 2005 playoffs when Jerome Bettis fumbled that ball. I remember at the time thinking, remember that after you guys sack Peyton Manning on fourth down? Right. And it's like, well, the game should be over here. The Steelers now, though, should they just take a knee here and run the clock out? Or should they try to put the game away with a Bettis touchdown? They ran it, Bettis fumbled it, and you guys almost lost
the game. I can see that, but I'm going to take my chances with the two-score lead all day. That means they have to score. I'm not going to be passive in that situation. Now I'm sending the wrong message, I think.
I agree with you.
I just feel like when you get in that, if you don't have a personality in that situation, that's when you get chaos, right? Correct. So you don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Me, I'm going to be aggressive every time. Look, we're going for the score.
Yep.
We're going to win and lose by trying to run up the score, point blank. You get a pick. Let's go back to Green Bay and Seattle last year in the NFC Championship game. Pepper's telling the guy to slide, just go clearly run and score a touchdown the game.
Exactly
now,
right.
Now it's out of reach.
That's right. You start, half speed. That's when you get hurt. That's what they always say there. Who gets dehydrated, by the way? Was that weird that Dez Bryant got dehydrated?
A lot of guys
really
getting dehydrated throughout the game.
I haven't broken
sweat.
You
got to get an IV
since,
in the morning.
You got to get the IV in the morning.
I don't even remember when. All right, next up, Jameis versus Marcus Mariota. This is one I missed on because I said, they still have a few more games left to play. Winston did not look great. Mariota did. MJD, what stood out to you about this?
I think Tampa was just so vanilla on defense. It was unbelievable. They ran cover two the whole time. You know, and so what happened was they just did a whole bunch of play action. Play action fake, throw it over the middle, big old holes when the linebackers step up, safeties are missing
just
tackles.
Dump it over their head,
I want to say Mariota didn't throw the ball over 15 to 20 yards the whole game.
See, I thought it was going to be vice versa. I thought, you know, Winston was going to have that game and Mariota was going to struggle
like
Winston.
Right.
But obviously, it wasn't the case. You know, four touchdowns in the first half. But man, the man has shown over the preseason, like he's progressed throughout the preseason, man. So
he's been
a player.
My concern is I still haven't heard Marcus Mariota's voice. I don't even know that he speaks.
The worst thing for me was Jameis Winston's offensive line is horrendous.
Yeah, it's bad.
They were getting beat.
It is like a drum.
Yes, like a drum.
D-line from Tennessee though isn't that bad either.
No,
you know what I'm saying.
Did you guys go see a band when you guys were out at night? Do you guys like go see some music or anything?
No, we eat, then we go home. That's it.
I like to eat food. That's one of my passions.
We call that fraternization.
Yeah, I call it the same thing.
But you said you and Black Tie got something going on.
Well, no, we don't.
Black Tie's a creep. All right, now listen. One more thing. I want to talk about Peyton first. For 2 years, I've said, Peyton Manning, it's no disrespect. He's great. I don't even say he's a choker. I'm not saying he's a choker. Tony Romo has choked because he's a human being, and he hears the noise and all this stuff. Well, if you're the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, there's more pressure. I don't care what it is. He feels pressure, and you can see that as recently as a year ago that you could feel like, come on, come through here, man.
Right.
Do it. Like in the Detroit game in the playoffs last year, you could feel that was a weight off his shoulders. Nonetheless, he does pull off a lot of comebacks. Peyton's problem isn't that he chokes. It's just that his style of play doesn't lend itself to success against good defenses, which are what you see in January. However, now, it's not a matter of that. He just, his arm looks shot. Yes or no, Ike? I know you, because you defend Peyton because of his brain. You love his brain. You talk about that all the time.
Nah, but we got to be
for real. Take Peyton's brain out for dinner.
Nah, chess match-wise, nobody really is going to, you know, out chess match Peyton Manning. But at the same time, man, he's still in this new offense. You got to give the man a fair shot. He's in his Kubiak offense. So, I mean, his offensive line yesterday, too, didn't look too hot. You know what I'm saying? He was ducking and sliding a lot, too. I mean, granted.
He was taking shots.
Yeah, granted to the Baltimore Ravens defense, but he really didn't have time to set and plant his feet a lot that game.
I agree. How bad is the loss of Terrell Suggs? Are they doomed, that defense, or will they be just fine?
No, they're not doomed. And the reason why I'm going to say that is because Ozzie Newsome. Like, we can say what we want to say. The man been knowing how to draft. He's been having Hall of Fame guys and Ray Lewis, Ed Reed. He just gets football. He knows his personnel. He knows what he's like. So it's the next man up, how we said in Pittsburgh. He got that same formula with the Ravens.
I'll tell you what, Haloti Ngata is going to go to the Hall of Fame, I think. Yeah. But if he does, so should Casey Hampton, just giving a shout-out to the Black and Gold.
They're sleeping on Casey.
I mean, the dominant piece. You can just watch the trajectory of that Steelers defense before Casey Hampton. When they draft him out of Texas, they drop him in there, immediately dominant.
Yep.
He walks away. The next day, that defense can't stop the run. What's going on here? Right. What's the change there? But Ngata is the same thing. And Ed Reed's going to go, and Terrell Suggs might go, too. That's four Hall of Famers.
I hate to say it. T-Suggs gone. I mean, we can say what we want to say. We can talk about whatever. We want to talk about the unhandsomeness or whatever. The man is gone.
Oh, the man can play ball. I guess my thing with Peyton that shocked me more than anything this weekend was that he was overthrowing guys. He never does that. It was like he's trying too hard. It's like you said, his arm is shot, so he's putting everything he has into it, and you're overthrowing guys who are running, you know, 2-3 steps in front of the DB. Right. Like, that's not the Peyton that I knew. The one that I went against. What happened to the guy I went against that was picking people apart, putting it on the money? Because I would have loved to play against this one. we'd have went to the playoffs more.
It's more matchups for me, what I think with Peyton than anything, as far as, like, defensive-wise.
Well, he's got a tough one coming up now with the Chiefs on Thursday night. Last thing is, Matt Damon, a.k.a. Jason Bourne. Mm-hmm. You've seen the Bourne identity.
Right.
He says that he could beat up his friend Ben Affleck's Batman, The Dark Knight. Do you think Jason Bourne could beat Batman in a fight? MJD, I start with you.
Yeah, because he's chemically enhanced.
Yeah, but, you know, Batman has on the getup. How would you beat that?
That guy is like...
His pain tolerance, we're talking about Bourne. His pain tolerance is high. Don't get me wrong, Batman is Batman. Mm-hmm. I mess with Batman, but I love Joker because his pain tolerance is all the way high, too. I would see Matt Damon, Jason Bourne beating Batman all day.
I'll do you one better. We talked about this a couple months ago. I feel the Jason Bourne, if you had all the humans, not Superman, right, who's made of steel and everything. If you had all the human beings from movies have a fight, Jason Bourne would beat everybody. Yeah. He'd beat them all. You know who would be in second place?
Even the Joker? Do you see the Joker? You see the Joker pain tolerance?
I think but you got to remember, they were taking the pills in there. And the pills, gave him the sense, the super sense.
Beatrix Kiddo, a.k.a. from Kill Bill, Uma Thurman from Kill Bill, she would be up there, too.
We're talking about just straight, just natural.
Just fight.
Just natural. Joker all day.
Joker!
No chemical enhancement or nothing. Just straight up.
How about
Joker
James Bond? How would he do?
He got a lot of gadgets and stuff,
too,
man.
Too smooth, yeah, man. Like, he's gonna talk.
How about this? No guns. That's the only rule. Straight. You can't have guns, but you can have your weapon. So Uma Thurman, Beatrix Kiddo, can have the sword.
What about Alicia Keys on... what was the movie?
What?
The movie when they
Alicia
were in Tahoe.
Alicia Keys.
And they were trying to rob the casino.
What's his name? Black Tie. What is it?
Black Tie doesn't see any movies. Alicia Keys.
Smoking Aces. Black Tie is no help.
Alicia Keys had this. She was the one that was...
Jason Bourne would kill Alicia Keys. No way. I don't even know what Alicia Keys looks
when
like.
When did he kill the Joker?
Smoking Aces first.
The Joker would...
All right, listen, so he's handy with a knife. He's going to handle Jason.
His pain tolerance is super high.
Jason Bourne kills people with books, and they're killers. He punches
eight people in an elevator, and she's hot.
You know what? I don't even know what to say. You know who I would think is Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones.
Ah.
But the irony of him is he got a little nick on his chest, and it killed him. So he's out. How about the mountain?
Is back.
Smashed the eyeballs out of the viper.
I cannot believe y'all sleeping on my joke.
Spoiler alert, jeez.
No, that's not even the worst one. How about Jon Snow killing the White Walker with the dragon glass?
That was pretty good, too. You don't watch Game of Thrones, huh?
No, I don't. Why we didn't put the greatest of all time? And this dude is a legend.
Who, the Joker?
No, Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee ain't here, though. But Bruce Lee was
the coldest. But we're talking Enter the Dragon. Bruce Lee
would have been
pound for pound.
I don't know if you can say that on here, but he
would. Oh, yeah. Right. Look behind the glass. Look at the serendipity. Look who's working behind the glass today. It's the Dark Knight himself.
The Dark Knight is in the building.
Look at that. That's a grown man wearing
that. That's a grown man.
He's an adult, and that's what he wears to work.
A grown man with a baby mind.
That's going to be Jason Bourne? Come on.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Bruce Lee will dispatch that. I hear you though. Like that's a good one. Bruce Lee is
naturally, yeah.
Yeah,
just straight off of tea. All he do is drink tea all day.
Did you guys see John Wick?
No,
that's a good movie too. All right, Black Tie. All right, Black Tie always has to ruin our fun.
Y'all always deboing us.
MJD, Ike Taylor. We'll get back together next Sunday. We'll watch football all day as we usually do. It's NFL Now Game Day Blitz. Will be out there. Bucky Brooks will be there, but he'll take a nap, so he won't have much to say.
No question.
But we'll have a good time again, right?
Definitely.
Steelers and 49ers is what we're going to watch, too, on the big screen. All right. There they are. Make sure you watch them on NFL Now. Nobody funnier out here talking about football than these two fellas. And maybe you'll see them in a restaurant around Los Angeles. Go up and say hi. But leave them alone. It's just the two of them.
Yeah.